Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cried out those words with a loud voice, tormented in body, soul, and spirit, having been tortured for hours, physically and also emotionally, spiritually, bearing the weight of the sins of the whole world as he was hanging there upon the cross. Jesus sounded like he was reaching the end of his rope. In mortal agony, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? How very different those words are from the opening words of today's gospel reading. As the Father has loved me. And yet both of those sentences were spoken by our Lord and Savior just within hours of each other. It's absolutely essential for us to understand how the Father loved the Son in order for us to really be able to grow from this portion of God's word before us today. Jesus says to us, as the Father has loved me, so also I have loved you. These things I am instructing you, so that you love one another. Here we have an intricately detailed lesson in practical love. The Father's love for the Son. The Son's love for us. And because of all of that, our love for one another. It can sometimes be difficult for us to understand what love really is. That word has such a broad range of uses. We talk about loving our favorite food or sport or movie. We talk about loving our children and loving our spouse. We might also say that we love a celebrity or a musical group. So that all those different uses of that word doesn't really help us to really understand what love really is. The Bible tells us that God is love, and that we love because he first loved us. From God, we learn what love is by experiencing it through the gift of God's one and only Son. The more that we can know about how God loves us, the more we will know what love is, and the more we will be able to love as God calls us to do. The Father loves the Son, Jesus tells us. That's quite an assertion when you look at everything that happened to the Son as a part of God's plan of salvation. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul tells us that he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Does that sound like what a loving father would want for his son? If God really loved Jesus, why did he let this cross and suffering happen to him? God the Father let Jesus suffer, not because he doesn't love Jesus, but because he loves us as well. The Apostle Paul testified to the immensity of God's love in his letter to the Ephesians. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. God's love for us is boundless, so great that he willingly gave up his own Son, whom he loves dearly. It's somewhat like a father who gives up his son to go to war. Does he do it because he loves his son too little? Or because he loves others more than his son? No, he loves his son and loves him dearly. Yet he gives him up because he believes that it's the necessary thing to do. God the Father gave up his son, not for the son's sake, but for ours. Because he loves us, he gave up his son, the son whom he also loves. God the Father loves the son. The Bible doesn't tell us what kind of feeling that is. Feeling is probably not even the right kind of word to describe the nature of love. Instead, the Bible describes for us the close relationship and commitment that allowed the Father and the Son to be one. As Jesus testifies, "I and the Father are one. The Father is in me, and I am in the Father." It was a relationship built on commitment. The complete commitment of the Father to the Son and of the Son to the Father. Jesus also testifies, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again." The close commitment that exists between the Father and the Son has become the definition of love for many people. Love is primarily a commitment, not a feeling. Love is the commitment that keeps marriage alive, even when the feeling is not exactly the same as it was at the beginning, because love is deeper than just a feeling. Love is the commitment to carry through a pregnancy that physically doesn't feel very good or that is not very convenient. Love is the commitment that wakes up a parent in the middle of the night to care for a sick child. Love is the commitment that motivates a child not to just go along with his friends, but instead to do what is right, because that's what God wants. Love is the commitment that moved God to give up his own Son, and that caused Jesus to give up his own life willingly. Feeling doesn't really have much to do with any of those situations, because it really doesn't have all that much to do with love. As the Father has loved me, so also I have loved you, Jesus said. The Savior is committed to us. It was certainly not because of some good feeling that the Son of God came into the world, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus loved us not for his sake, but for ours. Commitment, not feeling. One striking illustration of Jesus' love is the account of his betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he died. There we see one example of the magnitude of Jesus' love. Judas Iscariot, a man who had been with Jesus throughout the time of his marvelous earthly ministry, who had intimately known the love of Jesus, that man led the mob that came to arrest Jesus. And as the traitor approached Jesus to carry out his pathetic act, Jesus, whose feelings we can imagine must have been devastated by this act of betrayal from someone who had been a close friend for 3 years, now calling him friend as he is about to betray him. But in fact, Jesus speaks to Judas out of love, calling him from his wayward action, trying to call him to repentance one more time, when Jesus calls Judas friend. Jesus called the one who betrayed him, that traitor, friend. He didn't call him names. He didn't call down curses upon him. He didn't forsake him. What would you have said to Judas in that situation? Jesus loved Judas. He was committed to him, and he called him his friend. So great was the Savior's commitment to us that, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus loved us in spite of the cross, despising the shame of the cross. He loved us with his life, and he loves us still. He came to life again and is now at the right hand of God the Father, where he intercedes for us today. As the Father has loved me, so also I have loved you. This is my command: love one another as I have loved you. The kind of commitment that the Father displays towards the Son displays towards us. That kind of love is what Jesus commands us to have for one another. After Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he said, "I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Love one another." In the Bible, God tells us how. In Galatians chapter 6, God tells us to carry each other's burdens. In Colossians chapter 3, God tells us to forgive as the Lord forgave you. The Apostle Paul describes love in great and beautiful detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as being patient and kind, not jealous or boastful, not arrogant or rude, not insisting on its own way, but being concerned about the needs and wants of others. It isn't irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrong, but finds joy in looking for what is right and good. It endures all things, bears all things, hopes and believes all things. That sounds like we will have to put up with an awful lot of stuff in our lives, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like it will feel very good all the time. But feeling is not what love is all about. If it frightens you to think about our Lord Jesus and the implications that that command to love has for our lives, that's okay. It is a very tall order. We're all too ready to make excuses for why we can't do it the way that he has called us to do it. We're only human. Nobody can love like that all the time. Don't be afraid. The love of the Father empowered the love of the Son. The love of Jesus for us empowers us to obey his command. We love because he first loved us. We love because God remains in us and we remain in him, because he has given us his Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. Through baptism, God has recreated within our hearts his image, and his image is love. Therefore, love is now our new image as Christians as well. We have known God's love personally in our lives. And through Jesus, that love of God is perfected in us and through us, so that now we can and do love one another as he has called us to. Sometime following his resurrection, Jesus was with his disciples, and he pulled the apostle Peter aside and walked together with him on a beach. Three times, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, do you love me?" The questions made Peter remember those three times when he had sworn that he didn't know Jesus, right as Jesus was being falsely accused and beaten. When Peter answered yes to Jesus' question, "Do you love me?" Jesus then instructed him, "Feed my sheep." We might say that Jesus told Peter to do something about his answer, to show his love by loving those whom Jesus also loved. Imagine Jesus asking you and me that same question three times. "Brother, sister, do you love me?" We answer that we do. And then Jesus says, "Then love one another as I have loved you." Amen.